Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to Real Recovery. If you're new here, this is a podcast where I talk about anorexia recovery and I give you guys practical tips and advice to help you if you're struggling with an eating disorder. Obviously, my usual disclaimer, I have to say, I'm not a medical professional and none of this is medical advice, so just treat it as, you know, personal experience and things that I'm bringing to you that have helped me, that I've, you know, discovered through research and speaking to other people with the same thing. I'm going to be talking about body image, about, you know, negative feelings surrounding your body in a bikini and stuff like that. So if you're sensitive to that and if you feel like you're just not, you just don't want to hear about that and you don't want to listen to other people's irrational fears used as an example because it might strengthen your own, then that's totally fine. Don't listen. But yeah, that's a little warning. Again, I don't think it's going to be too triggering. And I think that if you are struggling with, you know, fears about wearing a bikini in the summer and you've got things coming up that you're anxious for, I think this episode will be quite helpful. At least that is the goal. So yeah, I hope you do find it helpful. I hope you stay. I hope you listen. And yeah, this is a little series that I'm doing on navigating the summer, surviving the summer in eating disorder recovery. This episode is part one of the series. Part two and part three actually should be out because I'm going to try and release them simultaneously, so you can go and listen to all of them if you want. Part two will be on the social issues that come up around summertime. There's pressure involved to go socialise. There's a definite weight loss culture or an environment that happens in the summer specifically, which can be triggering. It's about navigating the social aspects of summertime in eating disorder recovery. And the challenges you might face and the things like that, especially, yeah, like diet culture, FOMO, and also the guilt that you might feel for needing to rest and recuperate and, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's part two. Part three is all about travel and how you can cope with travel. That might be, you might be going on holiday, you might be going to a hot country where you have to deal with the physical discomfort of being hot. You know, you might be breaking routine, you might be struggling with, you know, different foods, different experiences. That's what part three is going to be all about. But yeah, this part one, it's all about body image, specifically to do with how that can be tricky in the summer where you do, well, you're not, you don't have to, but there is an expectation societally and also just, you know, the reality of the fact that if you want to go swimming, you are going to have to wear a swimsuit. So yeah, that's all, that's what this episode is going to be all about. How you can, you know, make your life easier and make yourself comfortable and put yourself in a position where you are able to wear a bikini, where you're able to, yeah, cope with body image struggles, with bloating, with comparison and feeling insecure and negative about yourself in a bikini. And I think it is something that is trivialized a bit sometimes, and I want to actually kind of dig into how you can cope with it. I'm going to provide you know, practical tips and stuff you can do. And I'm also going to take you through a journaling exercise about body image, specifically with wearing a bikini or a swimsuit or whatever. It doesn't have to be bikini, obviously. You know what, when I say that, I literally just mean any kind of swimwear, right? I'm going to take you through a journaling exercise that I did, which is how I was able actually to wear a bikini for the first time in recovery after having, I think I had weight restored at that point. Either way, I'd gained a significant amount of weight, and it was very difficult for me to, you know, entertain the thought of having to, you know, wear something as little as a bikini. Yet I did it, and I was okay, and I was completely fine. And I'm going to share how I did that, and it was through a specific journaling exercise, which I've done several times after, and it is just a variation of other things which I've probably already mentioned on the podcast, but I'm going to take you through it anyway. So are we doing that? That's just a little overview of today's episode, and I really hope you find it helpful. So the first kind of hurdle that I think does just come up naturally in the summer is the very obvious fact that you are very likely to be wearing shorter clothes, short sleeves, small tops, like shorts and t-shirts and stuff like that, just because it's hot, right? And if it's hot, you don't want to be in your baggy clothes, which I know can definitely become a bit of a crutch and a bit of a safety blanket for people in recovery who have or are gaining weight and you're very uncomfortable with it and you just want to hide away from it. And obviously that becomes less of an option in summer where you are hot and you want to wear short sleeves and stuff. Now, I think there is also the point to be raised that you don't have to do this. There is absolutely no rule saying that just because everyone else is in, you know, crop tops and short skirts and stuff, that you also have to. You can actually find very loose, baggy summer clothes, right? In so many hot countries, people actually walk around all the time in long sleeves and stuff. So it's not an absolute hard and fast rule that you have to be wearing these revealing clothes that you don't feel comfortable in. Equally though, I actually think it's sometimes a really great opportunity to work on your body image because you are faced with it a little bit more than you would perhaps in the winter. So when it comes to feeling a little bit uncomfortable in new like clothes that you know, maybe they're bigger this time, you might not be able to fit your shorts or whatever from last summer because you've gained weight in recovery. This is, by the way, the goal, right? This is the point. You do not feel bad about that. That's a sign of progress and it's a good thing. It might just be the case for you that you have survived so far by wearing baggy clothes and by not looking at yourself. And that's fine, by the way, that's how you've done it. And that's great that you've managed, right? But equally, exposing yourself and tackling that fear and that kind of reaction to your body and rewiring it so that you don't have the same fears and you don't have the same response to yourself, and becoming more comfortable with yourself is actually something that will benefit you. It will be difficult in the short term, but honestly, it's not going to be as terrifying as you think it's going to be. I remember when I kind of first tried this, I think I actually did this quite early on. I didn't last months and weeks in baggy clothes, just physically because I got too hot. So I had to do this body exposure work and it really helped. It sounds like it's a very terrifying thing, but I really recommend you try it. And you obviously can adjust it to meet your needs. But I just wanted to put that out there because I feel like it's silly not to mention when I literally have a whole set of worksheets designed to help with body image. So if you do want that, then it will be linked down below. So I will be doing a whole episode later about body exposure. So hopefully that will come out soon and you can use that as well. But the point here is that you don't have to hide your body in the summer because I think you know this, but it's sometimes good to remind you that the issue isn't your body. There is absolutely nothing wrong with your body. I do not care how you look. There is nothing you can say that would convince me that there's something tangibly wrong with your body. What is wrong is your perception of it and your emotional reactions to it. And this isn't your fault. Your emotional reaction to your body is actually much easier to change than your beliefs, your core beliefs about yourself. I remember when I was working on my body image quite intensively, I had the core belief that there was something wrong with me, that I kind of looked bad, I looked fat, all that kind of stuff in recovery, right? And that didn't go away for a long time. But what did go away was the kind of intense emotional reaction to my body. When I felt negative about myself, when I felt like I looked too fat or I was self-conscious, I think at the beginning of recovery, when I started gaining weight, that would have been absolutely devastating. It would have been emotionally awful. I would have, you know, it would have caused anxiety, panic, like terrible feelings, terrible mood. Just, it would have floored me, right? The body image issue was incredibly intense emotionally. And I think that you can work on that. I think a lot faster than you can work on your core beliefs about your body, about how you feel about yourself. You obviously can do them simultaneously, so you can do the body exposure work to try and take down that emotional reaction a few notches at the same time as you can be working through and unpicking your kind of your self-beliefs and reframing them. Again, you can do a lot of that by journaling, but the point is work on exposing yourself to your body before the event, so therefore the emotional reaction when you are out in public in a bikini, in short sleeves, you are less emotionally kind of in it's just a lot easier emotionally to handle because you don't have that intense anxiety, you don't have the intense visceral disgust reaction to yourself, just because your brain physically will not, like, it will decrease the more times you do it. It's just like fear foods, right? You might genuinely think that eating pizza, I'm just using a random example, you might genuinely think that eating pizza is a really bad thing and you might feel quite guilty afterwards. But I can guarantee that if you eat pizza 9 times, the 9th time that you eat pizza, you're not going to be crying and shaking over it physically, just because your brain has learnt that nothing bad has happened. You haven't died after doing it. Whereas before, it genuinely has such a strong you know, fear and such a strong set of irrational beliefs that it will cause an intense emotional response. So the point here is that I really recommend you try doing some body image work, whether that's journaling, whether that's using some worksheets that I've made or worksheets by anyone else, or, you know, therapy. Maybe you're in therapy, you can ask your therapist for some exercises that you can do to help work on your body image. Maybe that's positive affirmations, maybe that's speaking to like loved ones and, you know, expressing how you feel and getting them to help you. Work on your body image mentally, try to do that and try to separate it from the physical aspect of your body, because it is so true that your mental and your physical body image are, well, they're related obviously, but they're also, you know, my body can be whatever and I can still have the same internal self-worth and feeling about it, right? So the point here is do some body image work, and I can guarantee you that if you do it a bit in advance of when you have to be out about in a bikini or short clothes or whatever, you will be grateful that you've done it a few times before, because it will just mean that it's emotionally easier to handle. Again, not perfect, and yeah, you don't have, maybe you are going away in 3 days and you don't have time to kind of get to a place of complete tranquility and self-love, but what you can do is honestly just try on the outfits you want to wear a few times, and before you try on the outfits, go in with a very, very optimistic, positive attitude, whether or not it feels fake, okay? I don't care, you tell yourself, I look great, or I'm going to feel okay in this, I'm going to be okay, and you tell yourself that, and then you do it, and then you know, you work with that belief. That belief is what you kind of base, you have a baseline of optimism. It's not just being unrealistically positive. It's about being optimistic, and it's about going in with a hopeful mindset that you are going to be okay, because you will be okay. Even if you do have a bad body image day when you have to wear a bikini, even if you hate it, even if you have this intense emotional reaction that I'm trying to help you avoid, even if that happens, it will be okay. Anyway, which kind of brings me to my next point, which is about how you can prepare for swimming and like beach days and pool days and stuff where you have to wear a bikini. You can prepare for it. Just like anything in recovery, anything that scares you, yes, it scares you, and yes, you should challenge it, but I'm not of the belief that you should expect yourself to be completely calm, running headlong into fear. I think there is absolutely a place and a time and a place, and there are definitely people who, by the way, can just run headlong into their fears and smash through them and just absolutely ace recovery. I do honestly see and believe that there are people out there who have that kind of personality. They are able to do that. I'm not one of them, and I'm completely fine with that, because what I do instead is I work around it. I'm a planner. I'm someone who needs to kind of break things down. I'm not saying one's better than the other, it's okay, basically just work with what you've got. If you're someone who is very much of the spontaneous kind of person, who honestly, yes, it might be scary for you, but you know in the long run it's actually just easier if you just get on, you just do stuff, you just push yourself, you distract yourself through it, and you use momentum to carry you through, then that's absolutely fine, you do you. For the people who are like me and who need that kind of security and that comfort of knowing that I've kind of planned and I've kind of got these things, you know, prepared, I recommend that you prepare yourself for wearing a bikini. It might sound kind of silly, it might sound unnecessary to the people who don't struggle with body image out there, to the people without eating disorders, but to people in eating disorder recovery, worrying about your body image isn't about vanity in the slightest. It's not about being self-obsessed, it's not about being superficial, it's about having a disorder. It's based off of maladaptive thinking, and therefore you're not making a big deal out of something which isn't a big deal, which I think I had a lot of shame around. I was like, why am I feeling so upset about this? This is so silly, like people are going to think I'm being just vain or whatever if I'm worried about this. Well, that's just not the case. Let go of any shame surrounding this just before we get in. But preparing for swimming for a couple of days in advance, or a couple of weeks, however long you've got really, is just trying some swimming costumes. If you have the means, go and buy some new ones that feel more comfortable. Try on your swimming costumes and move around in them. It's just about getting yourself prepared for how it's going to feel and how it's going to be, and it helps. Now, after you've done this, so you've done a bit of body exposure, you've kind of prepared yourself, that you know what you're doing on the day, maybe you've got a plan for how this beach day or pool day or holiday or whatever it is, plan how it's going to go, prepare yourself, know what's going to happen, know like what you're doing on the day, all that kind of stuff. Once you've done all that, I think the journaling part is very important and it does come in. This is what really helped me, and I'm going to explain and kind of take you through what I did, and I hope that you can try it out as well. Basically, it's about journaling in advance and unpicking any worries or fears that you have about being in bikini, because this way, when you actually have to put it on and go to the beach or whatever you're doing, you will be doing it with a foundation of calmness and self-compassion, and you will, the journaling kind of smooths out a lot of that anxiety beforehand, and you will be going into this situation a hell of a lot calmer, and you will also, after this situation, you will have a lot less emotion and a lot less guilt and whatever the negative emotions are, because you would have already unpicked them and dealt with them beforehand. I know it sounds too simplistic, but I really recommend you try it, because it helped me a lot, and I think it's something that makes sense, right? Okay, so the first thing you do is you kind of just brain dump. You ask yourself, what's making me anxious about this? Why do I not want to wear a bikini? And you brain dump. And some of these reasons will seem quite big and scary. They might seem quite intense. You might notice that really quite exaggerated things come up, like your eating disorder might crop up and you will write some very extreme fears down that might not make a lot of sense. There might be some really small things as well, like really kind of insignificant sounding things, and you know, just stuff that you don't think is that big of a deal. Just write it down anyway. You might end up with a great long list of a bunch of reasons why you're terrified to wear a bikini, and you might end up with a great, you know, reasons why you're uncomfortable in it, reasons blah 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 blah. Just write it all down, kind of brain dump it, then number them one to however many you've got, right? And what you're going to do is you're going to address each thing one by one. Again, like I've said, this might take a while, depends on how many worries and fears and concerns you have, right? But your reasons will be individual to you. You might have specific people that you think are going to judge you. You might have specific things that you feel very uncomfortable with. Maybe it's a certain body part that you feel very uncomfortable with. Maybe it's something that, it's the scenario, it's the day, it's the discomfort, it's the heat, it's the, like, the routine, the schedule. It's maybe, and this was for me the biggest deal, I think, for me personally, was the bloating, the big stomach, just because of the digestive issues that I was going through. I think, again, it's super common for people to have this big stomach effect in recovery, simply because your digestion's just not what it used to be. It's probably going to have a lot of bloating. You might be very constipated. So what I did is I wrote down all these worries, all these fears. Some of them will just be very extreme, and honestly, my eating disorder will come up with the craziest stuff, like I'm going to look absolutely ugly and everyone's going to hate me. Now, that's obviously an absolutely extreme example of a worry and a fear, but write it down anyway, right? Okay, so do all these things. Some things won't make a lot of sense when you write them down. I was super terrified that people would notice that my body had changed, and I don't understand why that bothered me so much, because it's not an inherently negative thing. Saying that someone has noticed your body changing alone doesn't exactly mean anything, does it? It's completely neutral. It's like noticing that the sky has got a cloud in it, whatever. But write it down. These are just random examples. Write down anything that crops up for you, number them. And then for each worry that has come up on this list, you are going to ask yourself three questions. So it's three questions per each point. Whether that point is a big point or a small point, insignificant fear or extremely strong fear. So the number one thing that you're going to ask yourself for each point is this question. You're going to ask, is this fear rational or is it being exaggerated? And then to figure this out, you have to think about whether the fear or the belief or whatever has evidence behind it. Is there any evidence that people will judge me negatively for gaining weight in anorexia recovery? At the time, I was thinking, is there any evidence that people will look at my body and notice it's changed and then suddenly come to a negative conclusion about me? And I thought, well, actually, if I look at the evidence, what I've got is I've got people around me saying that I need to gain weight or knowing that I've got a history of anorexia. So I think the evidence there pointed to that worry not actually being rational. And there will be some in your list that don't have a lot of evidence behind it. As with a lot of anorexia or eating disorder thoughts, like when you get eating disorder thoughts that are very extreme, like I am lazy if I don't do my exercise that my eating disorder wants me to do, or whatever it may, or I will gain weight from eating this one meal. Those beliefs and those thoughts, they don't have evidence behind them that supports it. So it's something that is irrational. Now, just because it's irrational doesn't mean it's emotionally void, right? You still feel the way you feel. It's completely valid. But I think going through your list and figuring out which things are rational fears and which things are less. And it really helped me when I looked at my list of fears. I noticed that some immediately were incredibly, incredibly extreme and didn't have any evidence behind them. Now, when those thoughts were in my head, when those fears were in my head, they seemed completely normal. They seemed like, well, obviously, that's like saying, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. Obviously, everyone will think I'm extremely ugly and therefore hate me. That just seemed honestly so rational to me in my head. Once it was on paper, it became apparent that it wasn't, and that was actually an example of catastrophic and extreme thinking. So I think if you do that, you might notice that several of yours also fall under that camp. Now, there will be some things which you will find evidence for supporting that fear being rational. This might be a bit triggering. This might be a bit difficult. This might be like, well, maybe there are people in my life who do negatively criticize me because of my weight gain. And then that would support this fear. Now, that's where the second question comes into play. And that's where the third question actually will help this as well. But the second question, after you've done this, you ask yourself, for each fear that you've written down, you ask yourself the second question, which is, what is the worst that could happen if that fear came true, right? You ask yourself about the worst case scenario. You entertain the worst case scenario if all your fears were true about being in a bikini. Like, for example, what if one of your fears was, I'll be bloated? Well, that was mine, right? So I would be like, well, yeah, what if I am bloated? What is the worst case scenario? And I'd kind of write about that. And this was honestly, and this is still one of my favorite things to do, because literally it's such an anti-climax. Like, in your head, it seems this massive, scary deal. On paper, when you actually unpick it and think, well, okay, fine, maybe this does actually have evidence behind it, then your eating disorder brain will start spiraling and being like, look, see, it is true. You should be afraid of this. And then you go, hang on a minute. What's the worst that could happen? Like, say this does happen. Say this is the case. Because honestly, yeah, I was bloated. I did have a big stomach in comparison to the rest of my body, just because of, you know, the obvious reasons, right? And I would ask myself, okay, well, what's the worst case scenario? Like, genuinely, what's the worst that could happen? And the best thing about this is, well, A, I guarantee you can handle the worst. You can actually handle the worst case scenario, even if that worst case scenario is actually super difficult. Even if that worst case scenario is you having a panic attack, whatever, okay, you can still handle it. You've handled worse. And for me anyway, that was extremely comforting in a very strange sort of way. Also, it's comforting in the fact that the worst case scenario statistically never really happens, right? The worst case scenario for me in several of these things were, yes, maybe I could rationalize it. Maybe that hypothetically could happen, but was it really going to? Was it, you know, is that likely? Whether it's likely or not, I could still handle it. And I felt comfort from knowing that I'm reminding myself that actually, hang on, look, one, you can handle these emotionally difficult things. And therefore that brings you comfort in the moment. And as you've written it down, your brain is learning that actually it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And then when it comes to the actual event, when your brain starts going off on one, being like, oh my God, this is going to happen and it's going to be terrible, you go, actually, like, your brain has that foundation of you unpicking it all through journaling and coming up with the fact that these worst case scenarios, A, are unlikely, and B, there's something you can completely handle, right? Now, this is where the third and the final question of this journaling exercise comes in. So you ask yourself, for each of your fears, you might have quite a few bullet points underneath each one. Again, it depends on the level and the type of fear and the thought and whatever. This is all about planning, and it's also about, this is the resolution. So you've unpicked these things, and now you might have a bit of fear going on. You might have a bit of a mess really going on in your head. Some of these things actually are resolved within the first two questions. So some things are resolved in the first question in the sense that you can immediately spot the completely irrational fears. And honestly, sometimes just spotting them for what they are, for them having no evidence for them, actually, for some of them at least, that will just take away the fear completely, because, you know, it's just about reminding yourself of that. For the second thing, some of your fears will be resolved within the second question, because once you have, you know, entertained the worst case scenario, some of your fears, you will look at that worst case scenario and actually not fear it anymore, because you will look at it and be like, I could completely handle that. That's completely fine, right? Again, not for all of them, which is why we have the third question, which is about making the best possible route through this situation, okay? So it's about asking yourself, how can I feel better about this? And the point is about, it's about how you feel. It's not about fixing things. It's not about fixing your body, that's for certain. It's not about hyper-controlling every aspect of the situation to make sure that it's perfect and it goes your way. It's about making sure that you feel as comfortable as possible during these times where you have to wear a bikini. Some of your fears and your worries won't have been resolved within the first two questions of this. You might have some in that list which still feel very scary, very uncontrollable, very unmanageable, very emotionally difficult to sit with, right? And you probably will be scared that you won't have, you know, you won't be able to manage when you have to actually wear a bikini. Now, this is why the third question is very, very important, and it's what resolves those remaining ones. And it's about planning what you're going to do to feel better. When you ask yourself, how can I feel better? The third question for each of these points, there's going to be different answers for all of them. Some of them, it literally can be as simple as, I will feel better about this if I literally just remind myself of the truth. And I have that written down on my phone in my notes app. And when I start feeling anxious and I start, you know, overthinking a certain thing, I will just look at that little statement, that little mantra, positive affirmation, whatever it may be. And I'll have that, and that will help me in the moment. I know it will, because it helps me in other times. I just need to remember it. That was, for me, a lot of them. A lot of them, honestly, I could feel better if I just reminded myself of something. It might seem like, well, why does it even need to be reminded if it's something you can, if you know? But I think when you have an eating disorder or you're in recovery, I don't know what it is, but stuff just goes in one, out there, out the other, right? So you forget things that are true. You forget these positive affirmations. Write them down, right? And this is your plan of how you're going to feel better on the day, or whenever you have to wear a bikini, you just have to remind yourself, have some affirmations or mantras or true statements written down. I recommend doing it in your notes app, just because it's very subtle, it's very discreet. You don't have to get this big like poster of positive affirmations out when you're on the beach. But and that could be part of your question three answer for some of these. It might just be, you know, a very short and sweet statement that will help you feel better. Other things, it might be more involved. It might be creating an action plan of how you're going to handle things on the day. Like, write down what you need to do beforehand to make sure you feel physically comfortable. For example, like, drink water, make sure not dehydrated. Eat foods that are easy to digest so you can manage like physical discomfort there. Wear a comfortable bikini, bring comfortable clothes. Wear some jewelry like to boost your confidence and to distract you. Bring distractions. Literally, the list goes on. Whatever works for you on the day, just have some sort of plan, which, you know, the plan alone of having these like coping skills kind of already in place, that brings people a lot of, you know, relief from anxiety, just feeling much more in control, much more safe. So yeah, plan, and that could be your answer for some of these points for question three. Other things that you could be writing down as an answer to this third question for some of these anxieties and fears might be mantras or something that you've, you know, something that just gets you through, honestly. Again, it's coming back to that place of kind of stoicism. And it might not be very pleasant, but it might be very helpful. As I've kind of mentioned, it's about something that gets you to look at the bigger picture and to almost just grin and bear the anxiety, right? Sometimes you are going to feel uncomfortable, and sometimes that's just completely okay because it goes, right? And it's something you can handle. It's all about, yeah, connects to the whole question too, really, about looking at the worst case scenario. But sometimes the only way to feel better about something is to accept it and to understand that actually feeling bad will not kill you. Having terrible body image, if that's what it comes to, is something that passes. It will go. If you just can't plan your way out of something or positive affirmation your way out of something, and the fear and the negative emotion is still there, there are going to be sticking points, I can imagine. I can imagine that for this journaling exercise, there are going to be points in your original brain dump list that are just not feeling any lighter. The anxiety is still there, the fear is still there. And for these points, this is why question three is super important. It's about how can you feel better. It's about understanding that sometimes nothing needs to be done, and actually allowing the bad feeling to be there is okay. That is the answer to feeling better, is to not feel better. Okay, I know it sounds really counterintuitive, but sometimes you just have to accept that you can't always fix things. And sometimes sitting with a bad feeling and sitting with feeling really negative about your body image and not resorting to using eating disorder behaviors is 100% a net positive for you, and it's because it is actively rewiring your brain, okay? Dealing with negative emotions and coping with them and sitting through them, it is training your brain one step at a time to view those things as less distressing in the future. So if you are doing this journaling exercise, maybe you had, I don't know, 20 different fears to start off with and you wrote them all down. And then the first question of addressing whether or not they're irrational or irrational, you knocked off 5 immediately because they just looked ridiculous when you wrote them on paper. And then maybe in the second part of this exercise, you actually, you looked at the worst case scenario for some of them, and some of them just didn't seem that bad anymore. And now you're not as anxious about them. Maybe now you've only got 10 left and you come to the third question, you're like, how can I feel better? Maybe 5 of these remaining 10, you actually can plan your way out of, or at least you can plan your way into, so you can make sure you have, you know, all the things you need, make sure you have structure and routine. And then maybe some of those you can plan some like statements that you're going to say to yourself that you're going to work towards believing, and you can reframe how you think about certain things. That could be how you feel better about it, okay? But then maybe you still got this 5 that just left over and they're not going anywhere and you still feel super anxious about it and none of that has helped. Now, what you do with these remaining 5 is, as I've said, you accept it and you use it as a point of growth. So when those things crop up, if they crop up, if you, you know, you feel anxious about this or this terrible fear comes true or whatever it may be, you use that as a point of growth and you remind yourself that the bigger picture, right, this moment of you feeling terrible now is a absolute net positive to your future self who now has dealt with that, has overcome it, and now isn't scared of that anymore, okay? That's brilliant. Imagine if you went through a day of feeling terrible about your body image. You can either hide from it, avoid it, use your eating disorder to, you know, let it win, let it cope in that way, or you can sit with that terrible feeling of feeling self-conscious, feeling inferior, feeling like you need to change your body, comparing to others, and then, I don't know, 6 months later, you, because you didn't act in a way that reinforces that belief, now that belief is much weaker and you actually start feeling confident about yourself, no matter what you look like. And it's kind of hard to imagine that if you're in such a negative place, but I'm just saying that sometimes feeling bad is actually, all it is a step in your moment of growth towards a place where you feel better. I think also when you're left with that final, in that example there was like 5 that were remaining, 5 points of anxiety, but when you're left with them and you can't do anything about them and you know you just have to accept the discomfort, sometimes that can be very unsatisfying and you want a resolution to everything. You want everything to be fixed and you want to feel better about everything. For starters, it's actually still a much better place to be when 75% of your anxiety has now been reduced and you're left with, yes, you're still anxious, yes, you're still fearful, yes, you might still be feeling very negative about certain things, but it's going to be less for starters after doing this journaling exercise. And secondly, that last remaining part that you just can't seem to work it out, you can't seem to reduce the anxiety, it's actually worth outsourcing, okay? You go speak to your family, go speak to a therapist if you can, go talk about it with your friends, because getting external input sometimes can help us overcome things that we just don't have the ability to do within the confines of our own heads, okay? So it's okay to, you know, require help to deal with the things that you can't deal with, okay? So yeah, I hope that this hasn't been too rambly, this little point of the episode about journaling, because I understand that it might not make much sense, but I hope it does. So we've talked about doing body exposure work beforehand, planning in advance, journaling. My next point is about the issue of comparison. You have to remember that other people's bodies, they're not important. Social media obviously is fake, but I mean, I think in part 2 of this series, I cover social media and the how to navigate that specifically in the summer and to do with FOMO and stuff. So if you want to hear more about that, I think, well, part 2 of the series is going to relate more to social media, so I won't speak too much about it, but just remember that the people in bikinis who you think have quote-unquote the perfect body, you have no idea what's going on with them. They might also have disordered eating or other struggles or whatever, and if they're confident, if they're truly, truly confident and they don't have this kind of insecurity and hyper-focus on their body, which, by the way, so many people do, but if they don't, they would also be confident whatever they are, because confidence is internal. There are so many people in quote unquote, like, imperfect bodies, whatever, like, not that that really exists, but you know what I mean? There are some people who are confident in that, which just is proof, even more proof to the point that you don't need to change your body to be confident. You can change your confidence levels without changing your body, which, by the way, is great, because imagine if we couldn't, that would suck. You can build confidence, you can build self-worth, you can build self-esteem, you can reduce the hyperfixation on your body without changing it, which you might not believe, but trust me, it's true. Everyone is unique, we all know this, and everyone's healthiest body will be different, okay? So I just want to, like, really drill that home, that when you start comparing yourself, you need to come back to a place of reality and remind yourself of what is true and what is helpful. Now, to finish this episode, because I don't want part one of this series to be too long, I'm going to talk about bloating, specifically recovery kind of bloating that does happen because of digestive issues, and also for people who have just weight restored, who are in the process of it. It's not for everyone that this happens, but it is quite common that your weight gain will gravitate towards your stomach first before it goes to other areas, and there is reason for this. It's just as a protective mechanism, really, for your body to prioritize fat storage around your organs first, which, you know, is a good thing. But the point here is that bloating and having a big stomach is very normal in recovery. It can be very uncomfortable if you are dealing with digestive discomfort. Trust me, I know. It's honestly sometimes the most uncomfortable thing ever. But it's something that most of us will be struggling with. A lot of you listening right now are in the same boat as each other. And I think you should feel a connection to everyone else. An invisible connection is tying you all together. Because most of us, not all of us, I know, but most of us are going to be struggling with bloating. We're going to be struggling with being self-conscious about the appearance of our stomach, simply because it is going to feel slightly disproportionate for the reasons of digestive problems, or, you know, the weight distribution hasn't quite finished yet, right? It's normal. I also want you to remember that it's genuinely 50 times more noticeable to you than it is to anyone else, which you can argue that, oh, it's not important, like, but it is a bit important, because although not everything is about external validation and, you know, everyone else's view on you, I think when you are in your head worrying about other people judging you and other people looking at how big your stomach is or how, like, bad your bloating is, I think it's just really important to remember that, and this is even more so if you have body dysmorphia as well as an eating disorder, but it's always going to be more noticeable to you. I guarantee you that the people out there who are telling you, you don't look any different, or, like, you look fine, like, I can't even tell, they're not lying to you. They genuinely mean that. And whether that's them being unobservant, you can argue that, or you can argue that it's you who your brain is exaggerating, and almost it will focus and it will draw attention to the areas that you are more emotionally connected to. If you have a bit of a food baby going on, or you're just very full from whatever, if you're having to eat a lot, by the way, if you have extreme hunger, it's also very normal to have quite a full stomach and to have quite a you know, like, a bit of a food baby going on, right? It's completely fine, it's completely normal. Your digestion is still healing from your eating disorder, so then it's actually completely understandable and not something you need to try and fix, okay? It's something a lot of people go through, including people, by the way, without eating disorders, who, I don't know, maybe they've got IBS, or maybe they've just eaten a big meal and they're full, and maybe they've got a bit constipated, maybe they're whatever. Having a bloated stomach for whatever reason is A, very normal, and B, especially normal and very understandable if you're recovering from an eating disorder. So it's not something you need to fix, and it's okay. It's also not forever, okay? It's temporary. It's something that isn't a big deal, in the sense that, yes, it's physically uncomfortable, but that is the extent of it. You can argue it's extremely painful at sometimes, but again, that pain, is it the kind of pain that, I don't know, I'm sure actually you've experienced worse pain in your life, okay? You've got through it, you've got through all of it, this discomfort, this bloating, you know, the emotional anxiety and stuff that can come with that is all something you can handle, and it will go away. You aren't going to stand out. No one's looking at you. When you're wearing a bikini, your stomach really does not have to be flattened. To be quite honest, 99% of people's aren't. If someone's eating and functioning as a normal human being, they are going to have times of the day where their stomach is protruding. Also, your body is an organism. It doesn't care that you might dislike the appearance of a bigger stomach from food or bloating or whatever. It's functioning in the way that it's supposed to. You're literally a part of nature and you're not a part of, I don't know, like Instagram. You're not an Instagram feed avatar where everyone's going to be sucking in their stomachs. You're not that, okay? You're a part of nature. You're an organism and your body is doing its job and it really doesn't care about how you feel about it. And I think just remind yourself that having a big stomach is... it's something that A, you can handle, B, you don't even have to dislike it. Yes, you might dislike it now, but I'm telling you now that there are people in this world who actually couldn't care less. And if it's possible for them, it shows to you that there is no absolute hard and fast rule that if you are bloated, you must automatically become extremely self-conscious and try and hide it. It's just not the case. You don't have to do that. Yes, you might want to. I understand why, because you might be incredibly anxious and self-conscious. But the point is that that is kind of not necessarily tied to the bloating. It might just be maladaptive thinking that you've got going on with your eating disorder. I'm going to stop rambling now. I'm going to end this episode here. Again, I really recommend you check out the second and third part of this series. I think part two is a bit more cohesive and there's a bit more structure to it, so hopefully it's not as rambly as this. But yeah, if you have enjoyed the episode, please rate it, review it, you know, giving it a 5-star rating. It's all anonymous, it's free to do, it takes literally 2 seconds, whatever platform you're on. And it's great when people do interact with a podcast in any way, just because it will help the algorithms push it out to more people. And that is the goal here, to reach more people, to hopefully help more people. Yeah, so if you have enjoyed it, please do interact in any way that you want, because it all just helps. And to everyone who already has rated, reviewed, you know, sent me a message about the podcast, asked a question about the podcast, whatever you've done, I really, really appreciate it. And thank you so much for being here and for showing your support. Just, it's great. So yeah, I hope you guys have a great week. I hope you're doing okay. And I hope the episode has